Heavenly Father, this morning as we have worshiped you, I know that you're in heaven and you're probably grinning ear to ear as you hear each one of our voices sing to you and as we worship you through story and just togetherness. And now, God, as we open your word, may you speak to our hearts. May you challenge us and push us, and may we know you better in Jesus' name. Amen. My very first car was a 1965 Volkswagen Beetle. You probably have seen it before, but I wanted to bring it again today. There she is. That noise right there, somebody said, aww. It was a chick magnet, let me tell you. Jen's not here today, so I can say anything I want, right? That's how I got married. It was that car right there. It wasn't dashing good looks or great hair, obviously. It was that car. Chick magnet. All the girls, oh, you have such a cute car. I know, I do, don't I? I called it the blue blur, and the joke was that it was so fast that when it would go by, it was just a blur, just this flying by blue blur, 1965 Volkswagen Beetle. And I bought it up in Cartersville, Georgia. You can still go to this place where I bought it. It's an old air-cooled Volkswagen shop. And I knew I wanted a Beetle, and so I went to this shop, and I walked inside. All the guys were greasy mechanics, and I found the owner, and I said, hey, I'm a young guy, I'm a college student, and I want a first car, and I want it to be a Volkswagen Beetle. Do you know of any? And he said, well, that one's for sale right over there. And I walked over to this blue Volkswagen Beetle, that one right there, and my eyes got wide, and I said, how much is it? And he said, well, it's not actually mine. It's one of the customers, and I know that they're selling it. See, I've been working hard saving my monies for this, my money for this car. I'd been working days as the maintenance guy at Calhoun SDA Church, and I'd been working nights at Blockbuster when it used to exist, and I had saved up $3,500. And so I'm standing next to this blue car, and I said, well, I know it's not your car. It's a customer's car. Do you know how much they want for it? And he said, yeah, they're asking $6,500. And my face sunk. Until he said, but I know what they'll take. They'll take $3,500. And I said, yes, Lord, your servant heareth. That is my card. So I got the phone number from of the owner, and I called him that same night, and I said, hey, I'm a college kid, a poor college kid, looking for a car, and I hear that you have one for sale. And he said, yeah. And I said, how much are you asking? He said, $6,500. And I said, oh, no, I can't do that. And I said, I hit him kind of low. I said, I've got $2,000. Would you take $2,000? And he said, oh, no, I couldn't do that, but I could do $4,500. And I said, oh, well, that's getting closer. I said, what about $3,000? He said, oh, no, he hasn't hung up the phone yet, so this is good. And he kind of just stopped there at $4,500, and we just got quiet on the phone for a minute, and then I finally said, listen, I've got $3,500, and if you'll take that, then you can sell your car today. And he said, sold, young man, this car is for you. And he hands me the keys later on that week, and I owned it. It's my car. Got the title in hand. I owned every little bit about it, from the carpet in the interior to the tires on the outside to the windshield wipers. I owned it all. No debt, no payments, no lien on the title. I own it. It's my no debt. Debt's probably one of the worst things that was ever created. And everybody has it. Student debt, car debt, credit card debt. I mean, even when you own your home, you don't really own it. The bank owns it. You just live in it. You're kind of renting, honestly. You don't even have the title to it. And the problem with debt is it can be a stranglehold on your life that holds you down and destroys your future. You know, one of the financial gurus in America that's known for his catchy sayings, Dave Ramsey, says these words right here. He says, don't buy things you cannot afford with money you don't have to impress people you don't like. I mean, isn't that what we do? And debt's all a part of this. You buy something with money you don't have to impress somebody you don't even like. The Bible talks about debt, says this, that the borrower is a slave to the lender. Debt's a horrible thing, and so many of us have it, and it makes us slaves. It's something that none of us want, but what if I told you that the Bible tells us about one debt that everybody has, and it's the greatest debt anyone could have? Paul talks about it in Romans chapter 13, and if you've got your Bible this morning, I invite you to open your Bibles to follow along. Romans chapter 13, If you didn't bring a Bible, that's okay. There's a blue book in front of you, and you can follow along on page 804. You'll read the same words I'm reading. I'll give you some context while you're turning there. So Paul, he writes to the Romans. They're Christians. Some are Jews that are reading this as well. And they're living in Roman times under Roman authority. And there's always somebody in the group, and in this Christian group too, that wants to push back on the system, that wants to stick it to the man. They didn't like the authority of the Romans. In fact, the Jews, there was a whole section of Jews called the Zealots that said, God alone is our authority. There is no human authority over us. They're living in these times where the Roman government, like our government, has laws and legislation and lots of taxes. And so they're pushing back on the government a little bit. They had three different taxes. They had the ground tax, which is 15%. That's a lot. That's a big percentage, 15%. They also had a income tax, 1%. I would love to have 1% income tax. That'd be great. They had a poll tax, which is like a traveling tax, kind of like our toll roads. We know that very well. They didn't have the Sun Pass back then, but they're paying for this stuff. And these Christians are frustrated. They're saying, we don't serve the Romans, we serve God. If we serve God, why do we have to serve them? If they want our tax money, we don't give our tax money to them, we give it to God. And so Paul spends a lot of time talking about how God is the only one that has authority, yet he sets up and tears down rulers. And so if you're under a ruler, you pay them and you honor that authority, which also honors God's authority. In fact, in verse 7, he says, give to everyone what that you owe. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If it's revenue, give them revenue. If it's respect, give them respect. If it's honor, give them honor. He says, if you owe somebody, you pay them. He says, no debt. And then he says this one part about debt that we all have. It's the debt that comes with a kingdom mind. And it's in Romans chapter 13, right there in verse 8. Here's what my Bible says. Paul says these words. He says, let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For whoever loves others has fulfilled the law. He says, have no debt except the one debt that everyone has, and that is to love one another. He says, there's only one good one, and it's to love one another. It's the one that comes with kingdom mind. It's the debt that comes with a kingdom mind. And to be honest, it's the best debt you could ever have because it doesn't come with an interest rate, and it doesn't come with a lien. And it doesn't come with a collector that calls you day and night and says, I need my money. And it doesn't come with payments, and it won't garner your wages. It's a debt that you can never pay off. It's a debt that lasts your whole life. It's kind of like this. The moment that you took your very first breath on your very first birthday, the day you were born, just go with me on this. You come out of the womb and you have a conversation with the creator of life, Jesus. I realize you can't talk when you're born. Just go with me. You're born. The nurse has cleaned you up. She's imprinted your feet on the birth certificate, combed your hair if you had any. And then there's this conversation that happens between you and Jesus. And Jesus says, welcome to earth. Welcome to life. Here you are. You're breathing now. You can see this. By the way, you have a debt. You look at your parents and you're saying, what's a debt? And they try to explain it, and they say, ask him about the payments. And you say, Jesus, what is the debt I have, and what are the payments? And he says, your debt is to love one another. Everyone has it, and there are no payments. You can never pay this off. You will always have it for all eternity. It's the debt that just stays with you. Loving others is the debt. And everybody has the debt, which means it's kind of a reciprocal debt of where I'm supposed to love you, and you're supposed to love me. And I think that the best way to put this into words, I'm going to quote a most famous person ever. He's a purple dinosaur, but he says it well. And he says, I love you, and you love me, and we're a happy family. Or if you want to get a little more theological and a little more church historical, you could listen to one of our church forefathers, Origen, and he says these words. He says, the debt of love remains with us permanently and never leaves us. This is a debt which we both discharge every day and forever owe. And it's this concept of a debt and loving one another that is the core of a kingdom mind. It's what we have when our hearts are filled with love for others, love for who they are, a child of God, love for what their experiences are, love for their eternal salvation. It's then that our kingdom mind becomes visible when we love one another. It's then that we are examples of the kingdom mind. You know, having a kingdom mind, that's a mind that's built around loving others. It's not only the heart of the gospel message, it's also the heart and core of God's law to us as well. Paul, he goes on in the very next verse, verses 9 and 10, he says this. He says, the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, or whatever other command there may be, he says they are summed up in this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. He says that debt that you have loving one another, all the commandments are wrapped up in this. Jesus says the same thing too as he's talking to his disciples. Here's what he says in John 13. He says, a new command I give you. This is Jesus. He says, love one another. As I've loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. See, Paul and Jesus, they're saying the same thing. They're saying that this law, this transcript of God's character, as he says, this is who I am. These 10 commandments that I give you, it's not only my character and who I am. He says, this is the pathway of the best life you can ever have. He says, you can sum it all up in one thing, love one another, and it fulfills the law. Here's an example. Paul calls out adultery. So a married man and a married woman, they find themselves in an awkward position where they are falling in love for each other, or maybe they're just promiscuous or whatever it is. But if they have a kingdom mind, they care more about the eternal salvation of the other person than they do their own desires, and therefore they cannot commit adultery because of the kingdom mind, because they love one another. Or this one. Let's talk murder. Paul calls it out, murder. I don't own a real gun in my house. Definitely not opposed to guns. I mean, one of my favorite experiences was a church member in a church ago took me to a shooting range, and I got to shoot an AR-15. That thing's powerful. Man, that was a blast. But I'll tell you why I don't have a real gun in my house. It's this. If someone broke into my house in the middle of the night, and they were going after my kids and my wife, I would do everything in my power to stop them. But I'm not gonna kill them. Because I don't know what's in their heart. And I wouldn't wanna take the opportunity for them to know Jesus because I'm trying to protect someone. You may disagree, but it's this kingdom mind that says, I love them more than my own safety. Or how about this one? This is an easy one. If someone is faced with the temptation to steal, they can't, if they have a kingdom mind, because love gives and doesn't take. And so it fulfills the law because they say, I can't do that because I love one another. I love them more than myself. I have a kingdom mind. Love is the foundation of the law, and it's the foundation of a kingdom mind. And it's when we love others, we not only keep the law, but we put a kingdom mind into action. When we love one another, you get to see love in action and see that kingdom mind. You know, one of my favorite authors of all time, Ellen White, she writes in the book Ministry of Healing, she says this powerful word. She says, the strongest argument for the gospel is a loving and lovable Christian. Isn't that beautiful? It's not sermons up front. It's not beasts of revelation. It's just a loving and lovable Christian. That's the heart of a kingdom mind that pours out to somebody else. It's the kingdom mind in action. It becomes visible. You know, several years ago, there was a young man. His name is Joey Resto, 23 years old. He lived in Brooklyn, New York. And he's just a humble dude. He's riding the subway one day, and he sees this homeless guy over on the sides, and it's freezing cold, and he doesn't want credit. He doesn't want notoriety or fame. Instead, he just has a kingdom mind, and somebody with their, probably a flip phone, because this is a really grainy video that I'm going to show you, they capture the moment, and they put it on social media, and it goes viral, and people recognize him, and finally gets around, and Good Morning America honors him and brings him up front. But this is what a kingdom mind looks like in action. That's what a kingdom mind looks like. That's what loving one another looks like. That's what paying the debt looks like. That's what a follower of Jesus looks like when they say, and they'll know you are Christians by your love. A couple weeks ago, I took my kids and I dropped them off at Fleece, and I got a text message from somebody here at the church, and it was a panic text. Pastor Matt, there's some guy here. He's just out front of the church. There's a homeschool group that rents from us. They're panicked too. What do we do? I said, I'm on the way. Because I could fix everything, I'm sure, right? Knight in shining armor, here I come. Driving along, get another text. Matt, he's literally going around the church. He's checking every single door of the church. What do I do? Should I call the cops? I'm on the way. He's walking around the front of the church. I pull in under the portico chair, and there's this guy, and he's sitting in the benches underneath the carport there. He's just slumped down with his arms crossed. You could tell he's not a happy dude. So I get out of my truck and I walk over to him and I say, hey man, I'm Matt, I'm one of the pastors here, what's your name? So he tells me his name and I say, hey man, like, tell me what you're looking for, because you're checking all the doors of the church, it's kind of weird, you know, what's going on? And he said, I'm hungry, I'm looking for food, and why'd you call the cops? Like, I didn't call the cops. And he points over my shoulder and I turn around and there's two cops that are police officers that have pulled up and they're walking up behind me. And so we're in this weird situation because I don't know this guy. They don't know this guy. They don't know me. And so I introduced myself. Hey, I'm Pastor Matt. And they said, okay, all right. And I said, I think we have this covered. And so they said, hey, to the guy, they said, we have a card where all our community services are. Would you like that? And he says, no, I don't want that. And I said, hey man, so you're hungry. I said, can we go get something to eat? And he said, yeah. And isn't this a church? Aren't churches supposed to help people? And I'll tell you what, my heart wasn't a kingdom mind in that moment. I was awfully entitled, a little manipulative. Who do you think you are, buddy? You're trespassing. Get out of here. I didn't say that. I said, hey, man, let's go get some food. I said, where do you want to eat? I'll take you anywhere. I would have taken him literally anywhere because that's what a kingdom mind does. That's what a heart that says, I love you because I owe it to you. And I said, where do you want to go? Do you want steak? You want lobster? You can't because I'm Adventist. Sorry. He says, I want McDonald's. I said, all right, let's go to McDonald's. There's one down the road. So he climbs up in my truck. I mean, this guy's got attitude. He's hard. He doesn't want to talk to me. He doesn't trust me. He doesn't trust the church. We get in my truck and we drive down the road to McDonald's and we pull into McDonald's and I'm back in my truck into a parking place. I'm just going to go in and order him some food. I'm going to sit there at the table and talk to him and just, you know, whatever, and pray with him, and probably the end of the story. And as I'm parking, he gets kind of weird in the truck there. And I'm like, you okay, man? He says, yeah. He says, I'm kind of known in this area. And I'm like, am I going to die today? Like, he says, I'm kind of known. And he starts kind of hemming and hawing. And I say, hey, is the drive-thru a better option for you? And he says, yeah, for sure. And so a couple cars had pulled in front of us as we were parking. And so we get back in line and we go to the drive-thru and we pull up to where you order. And I say, all right, man, tell me what you want. And he tells me what it is. Some bacon or something, whatever. I wouldn't buy him lobster, but bacon's okay, whatever. And so I order it, and I'm still in line, and we're turning the corner in the drive-thru, and the car's in front of me, and I look at the car in front of me in the side mirror, and this guy in front of me is eyeballing me. Like, he's staring at me, and I'm like, come on, man, like, what's your problem, right? Kingdom-minded heart, right? We pull up to the, where you pay, and I pull out my wallet and get out my credit card, and I hand it to the lady, and she says, sir, your money's no good here because the car in front of you has paid for your meal. She says, they've paid what you owe. You have no debt anymore because they've paid what I was supposed to pay. And I look in that side mirror of the car in front of me with the schmo that's giving me the eyeball here. It's one of our church members. And I tell this guy as we're pulling up to where you get the food, I say, hey man, you don't know this, but the person that just paid for your food is one of my church members from this church. And his heart just softened in an instant because no longer is the church that something that owes him something. It's a church that loves him so much that it gave without even being asked. And we get up to the window and we get his food and I give it to him. I say, hey, man, where do you need to go? Like, where can I take you? And he says, oh, I just got to go deep into Winter Park. And I'm like, Lord, are you kidding me? It's like 35 minutes away. Kingdom mind, kingdom mind. I said, all right, man, you eat, I'll drive. And so we're driving along, and I'm asking him questions. And he's softened up a little bit now because he's felt the love of Jesus through somebody else, some stranger that loves him. And we're driving along, and we get all the way into Winter Park, and we talked health message, we talked religion, we talked God. And when he gets out of the truck, he turns around, and he gives me a fist bump, and he looks me in the eye, and he says, much love, brother. Like, he's felt the love, and he wants to say, I love you too. Man, that's the kind of church that I want to be. I want to be a church that is not known because we have great music, or because we have an amazing children's program, or that we have a beautiful campus. I don't want to be known for a church that holds up traffic on 436 on Saturdays. I want to be known for a church that the people of the church live with a kingdom mind, that because we're connected to the love of God, it pours out of us. I want our church to be known as disciples of Jesus that live the gospel and love people. I want to pray for us this morning as we close. Heavenly Father, I'm challenged today. Challenged to pay the debt that we each have, to love one another. It's your love that you gave to us that we're called to pass on to others. So I pray for each person here, each family here, each group of people here. May we live the gospel. May we be kingdom-minded. And may people know you because they've met us. God, we love you, and we can't wait to see you. In Jesus' name, amen.